the Fed holds interest rates steady.
They really didn't change their post-meeting statement very much and said, you know, the economy is pretty much continuing as it was.
A Harvard professor is accused of lying about receiving research money from China.
And what U.S. officials say is that this is creating a conflict of interest, a conflict of commitment, and potentially serving as a gateway to give China access to sensitive research.
And Warren Buffett tosses newspapers to the curb. It's Wednesday, January 29th. I'm Charlie Turner, and this is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. Senators have been listening to arguments in the impeachment trial for days. Now they're getting the chance to ask questions. The 16-hour session started off today with a question from three Republicans who've been on the fence about whether to side with Democrats on a motion to bring in witnesses. They've asked the president's lawyers how the Senate should view a situation where the president might have had more than one reason to withhold aid from Ukraine last summer. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is still working to lock down enough support to defeat a vote on witnesses and new evidence, which is expected on Friday. Some U.S. companies are suspending business trips to China amid concerns about an outbreak of the fast-spreading new strain of the coronavirus and taking other preventative measures. Ford and Kraft Heinz are barring employees from traveling to and from China. J.P. Morgan is also imposing a 2-week work-from-home quarantine on anyone who's been there in recent weeks. Roche has established a similar quarantine and is including employees who've traveled to Hong Kong and Macau. Apple is limiting travel and has also reduced store operating hours there. The World Health Organization said it would decide Thursday whether to declare the outbreak an international public health emergency. Boeing posted a fourth-quarter loss of just over $1 billion today and its first annual loss in more than two decades. The aerospace giant has been reeling from the grounding of its 737 MAX jet. Costs from the MAX crisis have now climbed above $19 billion. The MAX has been grounded since last March following a pair of crashes that killed 346 people. Boeing also said it would further cut production of its 787 Dreamliner next year, and it incurred more charges on its military tanker and space taxi programs. As expected, Fed policymakers held short-term interest rates steady at their latest meeting and signaled they were comfortable with that stance for the foreseeable future. Joining us from Washington with more on the Fed is Wall Street Journal reporter Kate Davidson. Kate, this wasn't a surprise, was it?
No, that's exactly right. I saw one analyst note that said this meeting was abnormally normal. It was boring, which is what Fed officials like. They kept rates steady. They really didn't change their post-meeting statement very much. And said, you know, the economy is pretty much continuing as it was.
So remind us where the Fed funds rate sits presently.
So the Fed funds rate right now is in a range between 1.5% and 1.75%. And all 10 members of the Fed's policy setting committee voted to keep it there. It was a unanimous decision.
Did they say anything about rates going forward?
Not really. There wasn't a lot of new guidance, just, you know, signaled that they continue to think it's appropriate to keep rates where they are. And Fed Chairman Jay Powell said in his press conference that that will help them to try and get inflation closer to their 2% target, which has eluded them for years now. If anything, they did signal that there could be risks or surprises to the outlook that would cause them to lower rates rather than raise them. Global risks like the new coronavirus, for example, although Chairman Powell did say that some of the global risks had diminished and growth seems to be stabilizing abroad, but there are still some uncertainties.
Did he mention anything else about the global economy, or was the coronavirus a hot topic for discussion?
It actually was a hot topic. I think he mentioned it three or four times, which is a little bit surprising. He did point to some positive developments, the lower odds of a hard no-deal Brexit, thawing trade tensions. You know, we have a phase one trade deal with China now, easier financial conditions. So there are a number of signs that he said suggest that there are reasons for cautious optimism, was his phrase. But then he quickly said uncertainties remain, like the new coronavirus, which he just said it's just too early to tell how significant that will be. It obviously will have disruptions in China and maybe some of their neighbors that could eventually spread to the U.S. because China is such an important player in the global economy. But, you know, he said the U.S. obviously is very domestically focused, so any impact would be minimal. But again, it's too early to know. He said they're closely monitoring it. But it seems, I mean, that the fact he mentioned it several times suggests that it is a little bit of a worry for them.
Kate, going back to the Fed statement, what did the statement say about the outlook for the economy? Were there any changes from last month?
No, it was virtually unchanged. There's a little bit of a downgrade to the way that they described consumer spending that had been strong in the last statement, and that was downgraded a little bit. You know, Fed Chairman Powell said business investment remained weak, and the housing sector is doing okay. So they just said that they would continue to monitor the implications of incoming information for the outlook. You know, that's sort of the standard language that they always include, but it was pretty much the same.
The Fed has been injecting cash into money markets for the past few months, which some people see as a new form of economic stimulus. Did Fed Chair Powell say how much longer that may continue?
Yes, this was, I think, another hot topic of the meeting today, of these so-called repo market operations that the Fed has been conducting. And Chair Powell said that the Fed would continue to buy Treasury bills through through the first quarter, probably in the second quarter, until they get to this level where they have ample reserves, essentially where there's enough cash in the banking system that rates are not too volatile. You know, rates had spiked in September, and that's why the Fed started injecting this cash. But he emphasized that this whole process is just technical. And as you mentioned, Charlie, some people look at all this money, all this cash going into markets and saying that this is a new form of QE, it's a new stimulus. And the Fed chairman reiterated, it is not that. That's not what we're trying to do. We will slowly back off of these purchases once we feel like reserves are ample.
Wall Street Journal reporter Kate Davidson joining us from Washington. Thanks, Kate.
Thank you.
The head of Harvard University's chemistry department, Charles Lieber, was arrested Tuesday on charges of lying about receiving millions of dollars in Chinese funding. The case was one of three similar cases announced by federal authorities in Massachusetts. Let's get some details on this from the Wall Street Journal's Aruna Viswanatha, who joins us from Washington. First, Aruna, what was Lieber specifically accused of doing?
So the allegations are that he's getting a lot of funding from the Department of Defense, from the National Institutes of Health. And when you do that, you need to disclose other sources of funding you're getting to support your research, in particular if they're foreign sources of funding. And the allegation is that he was a member of this Chinese government-funded talent plan under which he got almost $2 million between that and this Chinese university that was supporting him, and that when the Defense Department came to Harvard to talk to him and when the National Institutes of Health came to talk to Harvard, he told them, no, I'm not a member of this talent plan. I don't have any foreign income to report. And so the charge is that he lied about that funding to the government.
And this 1,000 talents plan, how does this exactly work?
Starting around 2009, the Chinese government created these talent plans as a way to kind of recruit back a lot of their talented scientists that have gone overseas and come to the U.S. to study. And the idea has been that we'll give you some amount of funding, and then you spend some time at an affiliated Chinese university, conduct your research here as well. The problem has become where a lot of academics are getting this funding and then not disclosing it to their home universities in the U.S., who are then in turn not disclosing it to the U.S. government that's also supporting some of their funding. And what U.S. officials say is that this is creating a conflict of interest, a conflict of commitment, and potentially serving as a gateway to give China access to sensitive research, which they can then patent over there and have access to in a way that they wouldn't otherwise have.
And the feds in Massachusetts announced charges against two other people, is that right?
That's right. One of them was in the U.S. on a research visa sponsored by Harvard, working at Harvard-affiliated hospital, and the allegation is that he was taking vials of the research that he was working on, hid them in a sock, put them in his luggage, was traveling to China when he was stopped at Logan International Airport, and customs agents ask him, do you have any research materials on you? And he says, no, I don't. And then once they confront him about what's in his luggage, then he admits to it, and then he's arrested on smuggling this research out of the country and not lying about it to the customs agents. The third case involves a woman who is not in custody, who is in China, who was a researcher at Boston University, who allegedly was a lieutenant in the Chinese military and was essentially here conducting research on behalf of the military and then performing research that they couldn't necessarily do in China, like even looking at U.S. military websites and determining what research projects the U.S. military was funding here and trying to take some of that information back to China. She was accused of visa fraud, of applying for this research visa and not disclosing her tie to the Chinese People's Liberation Army. And she's back in China and she's not in custody.
Wall Street Journal reporter Aruna Viswanatha joining us from Washington. Thanks, Aruna.
Thanks a lot.
Stop the presses. Billionaire investor and one-time paperboy Warren Buffett is getting out of the newspaper business. His company Berkshire Hathaway is selling its papers to publisher Lee Enterprises for $140 million. The sale is notable for two reasons. Buffett is known for his love of newspapers and also for almost never selling any of his businesses. But Buffett has said for years that the newspaper business had declined faster than he expected. The sale includes dozens of newspapers that Lee Enterprises already manages for Berkshire, including the Tulsa World in Oklahoma, the Richmond Times-Dispatch in Virginia, and Mr. Buffett's hometown paper in Nebraska, the Omaha World Herald. And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Charlie Turner for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.